Warning, The Bear Takedown is a filthy podcast about homosexual bears and chasers. All are welcome, except for coworkers and family members of the hosts. If I was you, I wouldn't listen, just saying. It is definitely not safe to listen to at work or while driving with your windows down. However, pants down listening is encouraged.
Hey, everybody. Welcome along to The Bear Takedown. My name is Nick.
And I'm Sugar.
And we got a brand new podcast for you, for your listening ears. Are you a big podcast person? Do you listen to many?
Am I going to be honest with this?
Because yeah, of course.
I actually have listened to a couple, but I'm not a big podcast fan. I listen to a lot of radio talk shows, but not. I really haven't been on the podcast side yet.
Okay. Yeah, I like podcasts because I listen to them like going to work and to and from work. So I get to listen to just different topics or different things and hear different people. I don't know. I think I turned off the radio just because of all the commercials. But yeah. But you like Howard Stern, though. So do you listen to that when you're in your commute?
I do. I listen to that a lot. And the good thing about it is they kind of replay like later in the afternoon. So if I miss pieces of it. But my goal is always to have found that Howard Stern meets gay kind of podcast. So like, I don't really know of one, so I just never ventured out. I do like that Howard Stern's a little dirty and has that side of it, so that's what I kind of listen for.
Yeah. And is there commercials on Sirius like that? Or
yeah, which is kind of weird. I mean, I pay for Sirius. So I thought subscription, you won't have any commercials, but there's still commercials. They're not as many as like regular radio. I guess now what you're paying for is the fact of they can be a little crude and a little crass. And you
yeah,
know.
It's like cable. Then right. You could say what you want because it doesn't matter. Someone paid 50 cents for that channel or whatever.
It's the HBO of radio.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, so we wanted to introduce ourselves. My name again is Nick, and we live here in Portland, Oregon. We are not together.
No.
But we have been good friends for a while now, and we'll tell you that story. But we wanted to give you a little bit of background on why we wanted to start a podcast, who we are, what we kind of hope for the podcast. Hopefully, it'll be reasons why you'd want to listen and hang out with us, interact with us on social, and all that kind of stuff. So I guess first thing is why don't you start first and tell us a little bit, just not, you know, a little bit about your background.
Yeah.
Like, where you grew up. Obviously, people hear an accent, so please explain that.
It does stick out every once in a while. I am actually born in Georgia, lived there up until, you know, I was about 31, 32, then met my now husband, moved to D.C. to be with him. We were there for a little while, and then we went to Pittsburgh. We were there even longer, and then we moved out here. So Pacific Northwest is now our home. We have been married now for, oh my gosh, if I get this wrong, he's going to kill me. We were married in 2013, so this year will be 8 years. And we've been together since 2011. So met in 2008, and we're here now. Just really, really enjoying this side of the country. It's very, very different out here, and we had to adjust to it, but we love it. So it's like our thing. Now, your story's a little different than mine.
Yeah. So I'm Oregonian, born and raised. I grew up out in the country, went to a little kind of country high school with a bunch of country hicks. Mm,
that explains a lot. You'll find that out later.
You'll find out that later. I grew up on 21 acres for the most part. My parents are divorced, so my dad lived more in the suburbs, and my mom lived out in the country, and I lived mostly with my mother. And went to high school, was very active in high school, moved away, lived in a bunch of different places from Denver to Calgary to St. Louis for like 10 years or so after high school, and then moved back to Portland just because I love it so much. I don't know. I think you've been here for a few years, so I think you start to see some of the reasons why I love it, but I love being an hour and a half or hour from the beach. I love the city of Portland. I have a lot of family in town, so I always kind of like draw back to it, and it's just beautiful. You can go like about 2 hours away and be in the desert. You can be drive an hour to the mountains. It has year-round snow and skiing. So,
well, that seems to be the biggest thing that drew us here and keeps us here is the fact that there's so much to see and so much to do. We enjoy going to Seattle. For us, it's about a three-hour car ride. We can go to the beach in like less than 2 hours, and the mountains less than 2 hours. and one of our summertime favorites, Rooster Rock, which we go every Sunday during the summer when it's able. So there's, I think that's one of the biggest things that keeps us here is the fact that it's gorgeous. Everywhere you turn, there's some type of view.
Now, you mentioned some other cities that you lived in. Like, Seattle is the closest, like, other major city to us, and that's, like, 3.5 hours or 3 hours or so. Like, but when you lived in, like, Atlanta or D.C. or Pittsburgh, aren't there, like, major cities, like, a hell of a lot closer?
Well, you would think that. D.C. was kind of, so starting in Atlanta. So Atlanta was, you know, it's kind of in the middle of the state. And there's not like a lot of places to go to. Like I traveled because I played rugby. So we'd go to Alabama, Tennessee, North Carolina. And we travel, you know, kind of all over the country to play rugby. But I didn't really go a lot of places like I do here. You know, it seems like here I travel a lot more. DC is DC. You know, it's very political. It's very, your finger's on the pulse of everything that's going on. And then in Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh was just, ugh, it was just like no bear scene. There wasn't a lot going on. I made some really, really great friends and had a great time, played a lot of sports while I lived there. But I feel like since we've moved here, we travel more than we ever have, you know, especially within the United States. Yeah. So it's, I think it's gotten us out more.
Yeah. So how did we meet?
Well, interesting. You're one of the first people I met after I moved here.
So now that was like how many years? Like
2017,
4 years.
This year will be 4 years.
4 years. Okay.
Yeah. So Patrick, my husband, had gotten a job here, and they moved him here, and I had to wait till we could get our house packed up and everything. And I was flying because they were taking my car here or bringing my car here, and was talking to him on Thursday because I was flying in on Thursday night, and he was like, hey, I've already joined a softball team. I'm like, you've been there a week. You've already joined a softball team? He's like, yeah, and they really want me to play in this tournament. And it happened to be the same weekend of his birthday. So it's like,
okay. Whatever you want.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you get your way. But it was, I mean, I had never even been to Seattle. So I was like, so that was intriguing as well. So I flew in on Thursday night. We basically woke up on Friday morning and we drove to Seattle. Like I said, about 3 hours. And your team was there playing. I obviously wasn't part of a team yet, but you were playing. And the person
on a lower level than Patrick.
I wasn't going to put class system in there, but okay. But
we play for fun.
Your other person at the time was actually playing on Patrick's team, so you were there watching him play, and that's how we kind of met. And that was like you were like one of the first people from Portland I met.
Our team was terrible, so we were done pretty early. Yeah. So we found some time on our hands.
You were part of the cheering section very soon. I remember that
we became to be the Real Housewives of the Grizzlies. We were on the sideline cheering on our hot boyfriends, and then we discovered that
we had a mutual interest.
Mutual interest. They both not really looked alike. I wouldn't go that far, but
I would say they had the same label. They were both what is widely known in the community as a chaser.
Okay. And we were both bears, so we're sitting on the sideline watching our little chaser. In my case, boyfriend, and in Sugar's case, husband.
That's my husband.
So, yeah.
And it was interesting because they were, and I'm going to say it, apologies to anybody that was playing on that team at the time. They were like the two best players on the team. And so we had that mutual interest as well. So we both connected, I think, pretty instantly because we had a lot of the same interests. Different, very different backgrounds, but we had a lot of the same interests in that situation.
And then that's what started you off your first couple weekends here in Portland or on the West Coast even. Had you been to you said you hadn't been to Seattle, but had you really been to the West Coast?
No, the only time I'd been to the West Coast was when Patrick interviewed for his job. They flew us both out here. Both time, either one of us had been to Portland. He had been to Seattle before. But, and they brought us out here in June, which for anybody who's never been here in June, is absolutely gorgeous. I mean, you see Mount Hood from a distance and it's snow covered and there's sunshine and no clouds, and it's like 80, 90 degrees, and it's gorgeous. So they kind of hooked us. They got us a good time of the year because it's like, I want to live here really badly.
Yeah.
And it was just so, yeah, that was the first time we'd, either one of us had been to Portland, and then especially, I mean, we knew no one when we moved here. Absolutely no one.
Yeah. And that's kind of an adventure. Yeah. I've done that a few times, moved to a new city where I like knew no one. And it's kind of exciting, but also kind of, you know, there's some lonely nights in the beginning, probably.
Oh, even scarier. I can imagine, because at least I had him. You know, like if there was,
yeah.
And that sounds horrible. At least I had him. But he was.
I was lucky to have him. I think maybe is the term.
Well, let's say it right. He was lucky to have me. But I mean, to have at least someone that you can like, oh, let's go to a bar and see what this one's like. You're not the one person sitting in the corner, you know, looking sketch, just sipping on your drink, staring at everybody. But he's been like my partner in crime, so we were able to explore it together, meet people together, which was kind of nice too. Like, I feel like when you go into a relationship, you each have your own friends, and it's like kind of bringing them together. But when you move to a new city together, you get to make friends together.
Yeah.
So it was really fun.
And have you thought about leaving?
I think it's crossed our mind before. We're definitely, I don't want to say nomads, but like we're always up for an adventure. And yeah. I think the fact of, you know, we'll probably get into it later, but like we met in another country playing rugby against each other in Dublin, Ireland. We always have that in the back of our mind. Like we always love an adventure. So like,
yeah, because in your life, like an adventure put you aligned the stars together. Like if right. you would have never went to another country, if you would have never joined a rugby team, if you had never, you know, done all that, then like this,
our paths would have never crossed.
Yeah. So when you have such a success story, I guess from hanging out, that's what,
yeah. So we're definitely, we love it here, and we've recently purchased a home here. So I think this is definitely home for the foreseeable future. But I think Patrick is very driven, which makes us opposites in a lot of ways. He's very work-driven and career-driven, where I love to build relationships and friendships and have fun and push him to do more things like that. And he's definitely the A-type personality who likes to make sure that his career's in line and everything's going well.
Yeah, so you both want to put down roots, but you're more put down roots in the community with the right. friend circles and the local establishments and whatever, and he's more put the roots down in his work. And
right.
if that has to move somewhere, yeah. then...
And if an opportunity comes up, he's definitely like, let's sit and talk about it and see what happens. But I think, like, we both sat down before we purchased our house, and we're like, let's kind of, for the foreseeable future, this is home.
Yeah.
And we have no plans of leaving.
So about, let's say, 6-8 months ago, we came up with the idea of starting a podcast, maybe. And we kind of drug our feet. We weren't sure. We were kind of thinking about it. One of us would be in for a month and the other one wouldn't be. And then coronavirus hit and we were kind of like, well, what are we going to talk about?
Coronavirus.
And, I know. Where's the...
coronavirus!
That bitch.
So we were doing... we kept talking about it, kicking around the idea and kind of like why we want to do a podcast, what our goals were with doing a podcast, what some of the things we love and would, you know, want to interact or share with the world, I guess. And one of those things was... our love for, I call it like long weekends. Mm. Like you get most people get 2 or 3 weeks of vacation a year. And some people love to take a week long or a long vacation or whatever. But I'm more like, let's do Friday to Monday. You know, let's use 2 days of vacation and go somewhere for the weekend. And part of that is going to different bear events in different cities, or I mean, it doesn't have to be a bear event, but maybe even just like a barracuda at a bar one night, or you know, a certain weekend at a gay resort or whatever. It doesn't have to be a full-on, you know, bear event, but we both loved doing that, and so we wanted to start a podcast that was about bears and that was funny, and we talked about dirty things that only all of us have understand, even though we've spent the first few minutes here just trying to tell you a little bit about who we are. We do want to have fun and lighthearted. We want to talk about bear events. We want to talk about the Bear and Chaser community, the Bear for Bear community, Bear Chub community. We want to be okay with it, because one of the reasons that I love going to bear events, I don't know about you, but one of the reasons I love going is because I feel accepted. Like I come as you are, and that's good. It's not only good enough, it's like attractive, you know? Yeah. And I don't always, on a Tuesday, going to Walmart or going to work or, you know, going out to eat, I don't always necessarily feel sexy or attractive or whatever. But when I go to bear events, I feel like I'm attractive or can relax or don't care that, you know, I got a little man boob or a little belly or
so that chicken cut, you know,
little extra, you know, that's like celebrated and people, there's people in the community that appreciate it or, you know, whatever.
Absolutely. So. I mean, it's a big thing to, you can go to any gay event and you're going to see the hot muscle twink or the hot, you know, muscle guy over in the corner and he's looking great and everybody's got their attention. But, you know, within the gay community, there's all the subcultures and there's the communities. And one thing about going to a bear run, bear event, is the fact that there's a lot of like-minded people there. I mean, obviously, my husband is into people that look like me. Your boyfriend's into people that look like you. So knowing that you're going to an event, not necessarily, you know, a gay event, but like a bear event, you know there's going to be people there that are attracted to you and you feel comfortable and like, you know, like I told you before, I can't go to like a water park and put on my Speedo and feel sexy. You know, people are going to stand there and talk about me.
Yeah, you're not
like
going to the local Y and putting on the Speedo.
No, you know, there's stuff hanging out that's not supposed to and overlapping. And but when you go to these events and you throw on a Speedo and you're a big guy, like they look at you, but it's for totally different reasons. You know, yeah.
It's not like, why is he wearing a Speedo? Right. It's like, dang.
There's no mother there shielding her child's eyes from seeing everything. Yeah. It just makes you feel good, and it makes you realize that there are so many different people in the world and tastes and for lack of a better word, fetishes out there that people really enjoy, and it's just fun. I mean, but when you look at these events, because there are so many different types and they cater to different subcultures that we have within the community, when you look at a bear event, what would you say you consider a bear is? And this is just, you know, for us, like I know there's many different definitions, but when someone says there's a bear, what would you think you're going to look at?
I would say somebody that's on the larger side. I know there's kind of a difference sometimes between what people are attractive, like a muscle bear where they're, you know, real ripped and tight and toned and whatever. And then there's kind of like more my build, which I feel like is the stocky linebacker, you know, kind of like I got a lot of muscle. And I mean, I think it's your build too, but we're kind of stocky, but have
good save there.
Little extra, little extra LBs or whatever. I think it's bears typically. And again, these are like our definitions and they mean nothing really. And in reality, it's just kind of like our glossary is
like a
our
visual
reference,
yeah,
our reference points, and anybody can claim whatever they want to be and go girl. We, you know, we do what you do you. But I think bears typically have some hair to them. They're on the larger side. They can be kind of a muscle bear. They can be a little bigger. I think people use the word chub for a chubbier guy. Would be somebody that maybe doesn't have as much hair, yeah, or is a little bit larger than a bear. But I think you can, I think the bear is pretty, it could be in someone that's like a muscle bear, you know, which I would never even consider a bear, yeah, even really a bear in my mind, or it can be somebody that's like very much larger and even without hair. I mean, you can't control how much hair you have really. I mean, unless you shave it, but
yeah, I think for me, so it's like
I don't like saying like, oh, you're a chub, you're not a bear. It's right. Like, no, because you can't control that. You can't grow. Like, I can't I don't get a ton of chest hair, but, you know, so I don't know.
I think it helps for me, like, when I'm having a conversation, like, if we're on the same page, and I think that's the only reason I bring it up. It's like, but when I look at you, I see epitome of bear, like, stocky guy, some belly, you know, beard, hairy, and myself, like, big guy, you know, hairy, beard, you know, that type of person. And I think, you know, when you look at bigger guys, you know, in the conversations I have with a lot of friends, you know, like if they're like a big guy, even our size or bigger, and they don't have hair, a lot of people put them in that chub category, which I think has had a lot of negative connotation, but it just means you're like a big guy without hair. You know, yeah, that's how I look at it. And then you look at cubs, you know, it's like they're the potential bigger guys that have potential to be a bear. And then, like you said, muscle bears are kind of the types that are more muscular. But they, like you said, they can range from like ripped guys that are hairy to like guys that have big arms and chest, but they have a belly.
Yeah.
So it's looking at those. And even if I look at, you know, our significant others, they're both athletic, you know, great arms, great chest, thin guys. And, you know, they're on the chaser side of things because they are skinny guys that like big guys.
Yeah.
So let's look at this kind of angle of it. If it is a, let's take your body type and my body type, and you're into my body type, would you consider yourself a chaser at that point?
Not really.
Okay. But why do you say that?
I don't know.
No, I wouldn't either. I would think that you're more bear for bear. And I think I see it a lot at events, and of course my husband loves it, is when a bear, he likes seeing two bears together. So like if there's two bears that are talking and, you know, one starts touching the other, like he's, you know, definitely thinks that's, you know, very attractive and hot for him. But like, I know a lot of guys that are our size and are into guys our size, and they're like, oh, I'm a chaser. I think I put them in the category of bear for bear.
Yeah, because I think we consider a chaser, you know, somebody, we consider a chaser someone that's skinnier.
Right.
And they're usually like, I don't know, under 200 pounds or 220.
There is a weight limit.
It depends on how tall you are. You know, I had a previous boyfriend that was, you know, 6'3 or something, and obviously he weighed over 200 pounds. But if someone's 5'10 and over 200 pounds, then
it's a lot different.
It's different. You might still consider him a chaser. It's all on you, how you carry yourself and your body type and your weight and I don't know, all kinds of stuff. But yeah, I definitely put the chaser label on people that are into bears and are smaller than the people they're into.
Yeah.
But some people consider chasers just people that are into other, that are just flat into bears. And that's right. Where they stop. There's no qualifications on what they look like. It's just more about their preference and what they're attracted to.
And just as a disclaimer, I know it's a society now and we're in the world where people hate to put labels on things. I am a little old school, so it just helps for me when we're discussing someone. It's like, I have this friend coming, oh, really, what's he like? Well, he's a bear, or he's a muscle bear, or he's a chaser. And for me, it gives me the visual. There's no negative connotation with any of it on my end. And I don't feel it on yours either when we're talking about it. It just gives you more of a visual for things.
No, and I'm glad you said that, because we used to have a friend that would get kind of, I don't know if upset's the word, but if we use it, the phrasing bear and chaser a lot, he would get a little anxious or whatever about it, because I think he was more open with the type of person that he was attracted to. So he thought that us saying we liked chasers, skinnier guys,
right,
was offensive, or that we were limiting ourselves, or that we didn't, you know, it's like, gosh, be more open, like be more open-minded. You know, maybe you like another bear. Maybe you like a chub. Maybe you like something else, you know. And I definitely feel like, especially as I've gotten older, my range of what I find attractive has grown. I always use the, I always say about gays that there's either people that are twinsies gays, and they're boyfriends, and they look like they could be brothers twins or whatever. They're like exactly the same mold. And then there's opposite gays, which could mean one's skinny, one's smaller, one's older, one's younger, one, you know.
Yeah.
And so it's funny to me, because I it's not obviously always, but I think a large percentage of people fall in those categories where they tend to like something different than themselves, or they like this themselves.
Yeah. Narcissism side of it. Yeah. Like you see a lot of people, like you look at them and you're like, you know, they wear the same exact size clothes. They're the same height. You know, they look exactly alike. And that's, you know, that's fine. That's what you're into and that's what you are. But me, I have always been attracted to the opposite of me. Kind of like you are. Like I like shorter than me, usually definitely a lot smaller than me, things like that. So yeah, I don't necessarily want to put a label on it, but it just makes it easier in that sense, like for discussion purposes.
Yeah. And when I was thinking earlier today about this whole like topic or whatever, I was thinking like, well, when did I start liking that type? And it's like, well, I think I liked it ever since I was a kid. Yeah. I was obviously I wasn't as, I was always like larger than the average. I was always like stocky. I mean, I played soccer growing up, but my, but, and I ran track. I ran track. Let me say that again. I ran track. I didn't throw the discus or do that stuff. I ran the 100 meters. I did that at hurdles. But I was always like a little bit thicker, and like the football, I remember the football coaches like sitting at the, doing like timing and stuff, and be like, they'd like look down at their stopwatch and then look up at me and be like, wait, that guy just ran, ran that. And they'd be like, oh, have you ever thought about football? And I got multiple offers during the football. And I'm like, I played soccer since I was a little kid. Like, this is what I play.
You're used to running, yeah.
I was used to running and doing all kinds of stuff, but I was always bigger. So I don't know that I was always attracted to something different than I was. I guess I just kind of, my body type has always been what it is, and it's definitely filled out more since I've gotten older and because of coronavirus. But yeah, so it's always gotten bigger or whatever, and I think I've always just like the same type of body, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's definitely, it comes from a, you know, from a childhood thing, because I even remember my husband saying that he knew at a very young age that he liked being around bigger guys. Like, he felt a sense of calm, or like a sense of, you know, just ease being around them, and he felt good being around bigger guys. But he could, obviously, when you're 5 or 6, you can't put a word on it or a label of what it is. You can't say that I'm gay and I like big guys. But like, he's known his whole life that that's kind of where he gravitated towards.
Yeah. I think we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. On the Bear Takedown with Nick and Sugar. Be back in 30 seconds. Did you know you could leave us a message? All you have to do is call 503-714-1188. Leave us a voicemail. Tell us a story. Interact with the show. Whatever you want to tell us, you can leave a message 24/7 at 503-714-1188. Hey, welcome back to the Bear Takedown. My name again is Nick.
And I'm Sugar.
And we were just talking about how we met, what our podcast was about, and we just wanted to start. I want to tell you something. Like most of the country, we were just hammered by the ice and snow and cold weather. And a lot of people were without power. There's like 300,000 in the Portland metro area. And Sugar was not one of them.
Yes,
because he has a new home and all the power lines are underground, I'm sure.
Yep.
But I was one of the people that didn't have power. But, you know, I can't really complain because it was like it wasn't even 24 hours. And I have like coworkers that have not had power for 7 days.
Oh, really? It was that bad?
Yeah. So in Portland, which I think it's different than probably when you're in Pittsburgh, the snow. Have you noticed the difference in the in the snow type? It's like ice here, and it's not like, oh, fluffy, nice snow. It's, and a lot of it, you get back east or wherever. But here, it's like ice.
I think the biggest difference is, you know, in Pittsburgh, they were always had snow in the winter, but they were just equipped and ready to take care of it. So it was like you never had snow days. I mean, there would be snow on the ground all year round. I mean, all winter long, but like I never missed work because of snow, because they were always plowing, always treating the roads. And yeah. I just feel like they're just not ready for it out here.
And they use ice. I mean, they use salt.
Yes.
They use salt.
Mm-hmm. They use some type of oil too.
Here is very controversial. We can't use salt. Well, they started using it this last year on only on major like steep roads. But because of the effect on the environment, we can't
the fishies.
Use.
We don't want to hurt the little fishies.
We don't
want to
hurt the fish by giving them too much salt in their diet. So, but one of the nights we were out with power, my boyfriend Jake came over, and it was like right around Valentine's Day and his birthday, and we were we had it because of the snow and ice. We hadn't been able to like connect on Valentine's Day, so we're like, it's no big deal. We'll just celebrate Valentine's Day a day later. We'll do like a little dinner, have a little romantic thing. But the power was out at both of our houses. And so I was like, just come over. we'll hang out. I have a little stove, like a little propane stove. We can, a little Coleman stove. We can fire up and make some pasta.
Got to use that body heat.
And so I tell him, I'm like, do you have any pasta at your house or anything? He's like, yeah. He's like, okay. So then when I get home, he's like, okay, here's the pasta. I'm like, where's the sauce? Like, you bring sauce? He's like, no, you just said bring pasta.
Oh, bless his heart.
Like, well, we need it's something to go with it. If I'm asking you to bring a meal, I'm not like, oh, I have the marinara or the Alfredo or whatever. But anyway, so he, anyway, so we didn't have any food. And so we're like, and normally I would say I'm not like huge into foreplay. I think based on that, I would say, I don't want to say like I'm not into foreplay at all, but I think based on the average couple, average Joe, I'm on like the shorter side of what I prefer it to be. Mm-hmm. You're just letting me bury myself. And so I was like, Jake likes foreplay, likes a lot of kissing and touching and take your time. And so I was like, okay. I was like, Nick, there's no lights. You cannot watch TV.
Uninhibited.
You cannot do anything but be in this moment. So just take your time. There's no rush to finish or to get to a certain base or anything. And so
not a base.
So we start like making out and real slowly taking our time. And then we start to do oral. And then he starts like, we start having sex, and I was bottoming this particular session.
So unlike you. That's strange.
We both are very versatile, but this particular time I was bottoming, and so there's no power. I'm like, no hurry, just relax, take it nice and slow, love each other. And then, anyways, we move on to another position, and then I'm riding it.
Yes, I'm assuming.
I'm riding it. I'm riding Jake here. And I'm just like going for it. I'm like, oh yeah, let's go for it. Here we go. It's time to come. I've put in my work. And then all of a sudden, like the power comes on. All the lights come on full. We had like little candle. We had like candles in the room. I was like, oh, this is so romantic. Little candle. And then the power comes on in the middle of it. And then the lights come on and the fan comes on in the corner of the room. The other rooms, everything's beeping and all kinds of stuff come on. And we just like look at each other and we just like giggle. And then we're like, oh, okay.
So you're like totally exposed when you're trying to be like uninhibited.
Yeah, we're like romantic. And then I was like, oh, I can get back and watch TV. The Real Housewives are on. Like, let's wrap this up.
Fuck, Jake. I want to watch Real Housewives in Salt Lake City.
Yeah. So then we were, so then we were just kind of, we laughed and looked at each other and then just kind of finished. And it was kind of funny. And then we could obviously now make other options because, he brought pasta without sauce. So now more options were available to making some dinner.
If you're being honest, though, you were glad that fan popped on, weren't you? Because you were on top. You were working real hard.
I was working real hard. I was sweating up a little storm, even though it was freezing because there's no heat on. I still had a little sweat going from
that little breeze felt good.
I'm a big fan of white noise, so I always have that box fan going. But, yeah, so it was kind of interesting time this week. You know, at one point I even had like a down tree that was blocking my way out onto the street to get out of my apartment. So
like up the entire complex.
Yeah, right? So yeah. Everyone was, we not only did we not have power, we couldn't get a cell signal because all the local cell towers were down, or when we did get a signal, we couldn't even like load a web page. You know, third world problems, I know. And but yeah, so it was a rough go, but we fucked the power back on. So that was
so certain parts of Portland have you to thank for that.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it was not nearly as eventful here as that. We had power the whole time. I had food and, you know, a shower
and still sex. And maybe. One other thing we want to get out of here and leave you on that for our first podcast, and hopefully you'll had a good time or at least a bit intrigued, and you'll click and subscribe and listen to the next one. But before we go, we want to point out our socials. So we are at The Bear Takedown on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. We're also on TikTok, but I don't know yet if we have our videos going yet. So, but
yeah,
you can follow us on all social at The Bear Takedown. Also, you can go to thebeartakedown.com, and on there you can see all the links to our social, get a little more info on us, and a little special segment that we're going to start probably in a couple episodes in, called the Whore Tax. Now, I know some of you whores out there, some of you are closeted whores, and some of you are a little more forthcoming. And so we wanted to give you a way to be able to pay your penance and be forgiven. So if you want to or need to, you can go on our website, thebeartakedown.com, click on the Whore Tax, and go ahead and you can donate to the show and give your particular situation that you need to be forgiven for.
No names necessary.
No names necessary, no locations, no nothing. But I know some of you during coronavirus, you know, maybe taking a little risk on more than just syphilis or or something. But yeah, so you can go there. You can write us a note, tell us a story on a time you were need a little extra forgiveness from your whore. Maybe you snuck out on your boyfriend or got multiple loads in the same day, or, you know, a little something you need a little extra, like, this is a little flush in the face. I need Nick and Sugar to forgive me.
And we're always there for you. Don't worry.
We're always judgment. There's no judgments. We, between the two of us, we've done quite a few things. And so as they'll come out over the episodes, but if you need a little extra forgiveness, thebeartakedown.com is where to go. So that's our first show. You feel okay?
I feel pretty good.
Not too anxious, not too drunk.
No.
A little cheers.
Just drunk enough, you know. Just cheers. Drunk enough.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks so much for spending your time with us. And we'll get out of here. Hope you'll join us the next Bear Takedown coming down your feed. Until then, have a good time.
See y'all next time.